It's a great story, the Emmaus story. I remember in days in the seminary, Emmaus Sunday, or Monday, was the day that, because the reading used to be the day after Easter, and that day was always a holiday. And there was a little restaurant and bar about 2 miles down the street from the seminary, and on that particular day, we were allowed to go down to the restaurant, which most of us did. But anyway, it's an interesting story insofar as in Luke's gospel, everything focuses on Jerusalem. Everything is going to happen. All the important things in the life of Jesus were all focusing on Jerusalem. And it still is happening in Luke's gospel. That's still happening. All these events about the resurrection of Jesus, his suffering, death, and resurrection, his appearances of the angels, and all of this sort of thing. So that's happening in Jerusalem, and here they are walking the opposite direction. Seems kind of strange that they would be walking away from that, while at the same time bemoaning the fact that it shouldn't have been that way. But it's interesting how Jesus never lets go. He loves us with a love that is absolutely incredible. I mean, the kind of love that he was willing to sacrifice his life so that we could be with him. So he was not about to let his disciples go, or any of us. He's not about to let us go that easily. And so he went after them. And he suddenly appears in their midst, as he does so often in the resurrection stories. And while he's walking with them, he acts like he doesn't know anything is going on. He said, "What are you talking about?" And so they tell him the story. And then he explains all of these things to them, making sense out of all the prophets and all of the scriptures, David and all of the kings and patriarchs that had foretold something of this Messiah. And as he's explaining all of this, it says their hearts were burning. They wanted more. They wanted to hear more of this. They had a new understanding, a new appreciation of who this Messiah really was. So they didn't want to let this person go, the stranger that met with them. They didn't want to let him go. They tried to keep him, sit down, have dinner with us. And while he was at dinner, he revealed himself through the way that he constantly reveals himself to us through the Blessed Sacrament, through the Eucharist. He celebrated Mass with them. And suddenly they realized who he was. And as he frequently did then, he would just disappear. We kind of say, well, that's a very interesting story. But if his own disciples were struggling with that, with all of this suffering, death, and resurrection, which he did not seem to understand very well, I imagine he figured we would too. We'd have a problem with that too. You know, all the other disciples except John, they all disappeared. They took off. They took off from the time of Jesus' arrest, and the only one that seemed to be around for his crucifixion and death. And so that's kind of pretty much like we are, I think. It could very much be our story. Anything that happens in our life, you know, we know God has sought us out. We are baptized. We became his children. We became his adopted family. He has prepared a place for us. It's not something that's temporary, but something that is forever. He prepared that for us. He suffered a great deal for us. He spent 3 years, 3 years of his life trying to teach us something. And he doesn't feel that that's worth just dumping because I have a problem or because I lose interest or because I don't feel like it or whatever it may be. He doesn't consider that good enough reason. And so he goes after us. He went after the apostles. He said to Thomas, "Here, touch me, touch that wound." And then all of them were willing to make this great act of faith, "I believe." But you know, in our own lives as Christians, it's not an easy journey by any means, and Christ never expected it to be. That's the reason he said you have to be willing to pick up your cross if you're going to follow me, because it's a struggle sometimes. And so our struggles may be that maybe something happened that we're very disappointed, and we don't know how to handle it, So instead of going to the Lord or talking to somebody who you know and love and trust, who believes in him, we sometimes tend to walk away. If something happens, a big disappointment, financial disappointment, whatever it may be, maybe I flunked a bar exam or whatever it could be, and we somehow or another, we don't want to accept the blame for that. We kind of blame God. And so, well, you know, I prayed. Why didn't he answer me? Well, was that something new that you prayed, or was that something constant? Did you study? There are probably all kinds of questions that we could ask ourselves, but it seems like it's very easy to blame somebody else. And that's true in about anything. You know, if something's gone wrong at work, it's easy to blame your boss. If something goes wrong in the house, it's easy to blame your parents, or blame the kids, or blame the dog, whatever it may be. If you hate what's going on in government, you want to blame the government. Well, remember, we elected them. So there's all kinds of stuff that we do. We kind of, instead of facing the reality and finding somebody that you can talk to who will help you deal with the issue, faith in God, maybe reaffirm your faith in Jesus, to reconfirm to you that he truly did rise from the dead, and that he means it when he says, and you also will rise with me. Instead of running away as kind of like the apostles did, maybe what we need to do is turn to somebody who maybe understands just a little better than I do. You know, and frequently who that person is, maybe your spouse, maybe your parent, sure, maybe a good friend, maybe somebody who doesn't even follow your faith beliefs, maybe belongs to a different religion, but they may nonetheless be able to say to you, you don't give that stuff up because something went wrong. And frequently when things go wrong, we have something to do with that going wrong. So instead of running away, you know, when we try to run away, Christ never lets it go. He will send somebody. He may come himself. Maybe an inspiration that we receive. Maybe if we take the time to pray, he will somehow touch our hearts so that we know he's real. Maybe he will send a stranger to simply walk with you for a while and talk. What's going on in your life? Oh, I had this big disappointment. It just so upset me, I quit going to church. I don't pray. Well, maybe that's what you really need. I was on a retreat one time out in California. It's a lot of years ago. And it was supposed to be a silent retreat for 8 days. I think I mentioned that before. But anyway, it's very difficult to do, at least the first couple of days. So it was a directed retreat. You had a director, and you met with him 15 minutes a day, first part of the day. And he would kind of review with you what you wanted to talk about, if he had something particular, or he would recommend something for you to reflect on and study or think about for the day. And so he asked me one day, he said, "Do you like to walk?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I really do." And he said, there was campus there that you could walk around, but you get tired of that after a while. And so he sent me to this area. It's not too far from the bay in San Francisco. And there's a gigantic area that you can walk. You could walk for miles and miles and miles. And so I went there every day and started to do that. And it wasn't always silent at all. I sat down on a bench one day, and an elderly gentleman came down and sat next to me and talked for an hour. And the next day, I started my walk. I was going to walk for a couple hours. I started my walk, and this person comes walking up to me and said, "Do you mind if I walk with you?" So that was a 2-hour conversation. But it was just interesting, for some reason or other, I guess I was at the right place for somebody to maybe look at me and say, "This is somebody I can bounce off. They don't know who I am. And maybe I can get this off my chest, and my day will be a little bit lighter." But it's amazing how that can happen to us. The only problem is, frequently as Catholics, we're ashamed to talk about our faith. oh, you know, they know more about it than I do. I don't talk about it. I don't want to disturb anybody's conscience. But how many times we say that and do it, as a consequence, we may hold within ourselves all of these challenges and disappointments and hurts, whatever they may be, when in reality we could solve them instead of running away from them. We could allow our Lord to come back, come into our life, and help me understand and see and maybe live a lot better, happier life. So the story of Emmaus, think about it sometime with yourself. It happens to all of us. We have those things that happen to us in our lives, and rather than talking to our Lord about it, we blame him. It's his fault. If he really loved me, he wouldn't have done that to me. If he really loved me, he would not allow this to happen. He would not allow this disappointment. He wouldn't allow me to lose this good job. But it happens. And it's not because God's trying to zap us for something. It's probably just part of our lives. But we can't always blame him for what goes wrong. Sometimes we need to understand him and talk to him and let him, through other people, help us figure out how we can reconnect and realize that he is there and loves us all the time. So I think most of us could see ourselves in these two guys running away to Emmaus. I can see myself in that. We kind of like to kind of hold it in and I'll resolve this myself, when it works a lot easier if we bounce it off somebody else. Like they bounce their hurts and their disappointments and their misunderstandings off Jesus, solve it for them. And through others, and maybe through his own voice, he will solve it for us too.